Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in this Monday evening. All right, you Nova M founding members, you can join the live chat right now, novamradio.com. Just click on the live chat button at our website and enter your username and password. And I think Billy there tonight? I think Billy is, Billy Foster is running it tonight, our chief information officer. I'm really, really, really upset tonight because I'm just absolutely convinced that they're going to whack Tony Soprano in next Sunday night's finale to The Sopranos. We've been watching that for 10 years. They've only had, eight seasons, I think, eight or nine seasons. Seven in 10 years? Yeah, we started watching that in Chicago. I thought, what the hell is this? I remember one year we waited a year and a half between episodes, almost 2 years. I'm sorry. Tell me I'm cheesy. It was awful watching everybody in the last 2 weeks get whacked. And you know what's going to happen to Tony. And I realize he's a killer and a son of a bitch and just evil. And you know, he's a gangster. And whew. But for some reason, even a shrink abandoned him last night. So I'm just not in a good mood. Next Monday night, I'm probably going to be a total basket case. I know you don't believe I'm saying this, do you? Well, I am. You think my whole life consists of worrying about Bush and nuclear destruction now, once again, and global heating and dictatorships in the U.S., and the gutting of the Constitution, and on and on and on and on. Tony Soprano is he's going to get whacked, I'm telling you. It's going to happen. Meanwhile, in the real world, is there anything left that Bush can't screw up? He's really going after the big ones now, isn't he? Forget all the domestic stuff that he's ruined in the United States, just utterly, and continues to do so. There's no let-up with this guy. It doesn't make any difference if his so-called popularity falls to 5%. He's going to continue to nominate homophobes to be federal court justices. It's just going to, you know, he's going to continue to gut the regulatory system that has taken 80 years to put in place because predatory capitalism doesn't give a damn about anything except capital. But now he's... I mean, this is like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. He's totally blown up the Middle East. Totally. Things are happening in the Middle East right now that never would have happened. Can you imagine if the past 6 or 7 years, the pressure had been applied to find solutions rather than blowing everything up? Look what's going on. Look what's happened. The Palestinians are fighting among themselves. The Lebanese army is taking on, they don't even know who in the hell they're fighting. Hamas, insurgents, Al-Qaeda, nobody knows. The Israelis are just kind of sitting there with their fingers on the trigger, waiting to see what happens. The Iranians, who knows there? Afghanistan is about to go right down the commode. Pakistan is next. And now Bush is restarting the Cold War on top of everything else. He's about to render the G8, the so-called leading eight industrial nations, totally ineffective on anything, which means any agreements on monetary systems or trade or development goes right down the toilet. He tried to destroy the World Bank by putting Wolfowitz in there. Now he's put Zelik in. It's unbelievable. Plus, he's a clown and a buffoon. Tony Blair felt it was necessary to go to the G8 meeting ahead of time to sit down and have a chat with the leaders of the world's most industrialized or richest countries and tell them that it's their duty to make progress on climate change, no matter what this freak in the White House does. Man, the German chancellor, where, you know, this is happening in her country, the G8 meeting, Angela Merkel, said that Bush's phony, ridiculous statement the other day.
Well, I want to get the top 15 believers to meet this year. We're going to do global warming.
It's a stalling exercise. It's going to shut out the United Nations. Mrs. Merkel has raised all kinds of doubts, which is putting it diplomatically, about the U.S. commitment to combating climate change. Doubts? Mrs. Merkel, we're not interested in combating climate change. We're interested in killing as many people around the globe as we possibly can, so the pile of bodies will impress Jesus, and he will come down and rapture all these phony Christians up into their phony heaven. That's all we care about. Oh, that and making some money in the process. That's all. We don't care. Come on, Angela. At a joint press conference yesterday with Merkel, Blair tried to calm the fear. This is how the Scotsman of the UK puts it. Blair tried to calm the fears of other world leaders while giving a coded warning to the U.S. president. In his speech, or not speech, but his press conference, Blair said it would be, quote, grossly, unforgivably irresponsible, end quote, not to act to prevent the massive suffering which would be caused by rises in average global temperatures. But Tony, this gives me the impression you're nothing more than Bush's lapdog. Why don't you confront your boy, Tony? You know, you both use the same toothpaste, and just say to him, George, you're a psychopath. You belong in an institution somewhere. The world is laughing at you. But you know what? If you don't stop, we're going to do something besides laugh. Now, that would never happen, would it? Europeans are going out of their minds in the Czech Republic. Village after village after village is voting no. Absolutely no. In order to stop the U.S. government from installing anti-missile radar in their backyard, they don't want it. Listen to this. This is from the Czech Republic. I'm not even going to try to name these villages. I can't do the Slovakian language. The outcome of Saturday's referendum was never in doubt. Residents of this postcard village in the forested hills of central Bohemia voted 728-10 in favor of a resolution that directs the local municipal council to take all necessary steps to block the U.S. government from installing an anti-missile radar in the backyard. It goes on. Several other villages in the vicinity of the proposed radar installations have also held referenda with similar outcomes. In the, can't pronounce it, municipality, which consists of six villages, 95% of the voters said no to the radar. In another municipality, I can't pronounce, 30 of the tiny hamlets, 30 of the 31 voters said no. And Bush, there's your little people. They don't count. The little people. What they're doing, their plans to build these radars, these huge radar, part of Bush's wild-eyed missile defense shield, a radar tracking station to be built in the Czech Republic, 10 interceptor missile sites to be placed in Poland. Now, obviously, the Czech government and the Polish governments have signed on. They've signaled their report, even though opinion polls in both countries show like 100% opposition to this. But the Czech government and the Polish governments, they have become nothing more than NATO wannabes and prostitutes. They want, no offense to sex workers, they want some of the money. They want whatever it is Bush is offering. The people are saying no. France and Germany are wondering why the Bush crime family is trying to bypass NATO and deal directly with Poland and the Czech Republic when there is a framework for this. It's called NATO. So he wants to destroy NATO too. It's astonishing, isn't it? Load of us things and innocent. Sick of blues walking in a town. Get you one and a half, one of the shotgun shine, shake my body.
when the romance is unreal. The blue moon in your eyes, yeah.
Express to President Putin that Russia is a part of Europe.
The arrogance of that little weasel. You know, even going back to after his first meeting with Vladimir Putin, former KGB killer, and Bush said, yeah, you know, a lot of people say Pooty Poot isn't a very good man, but I looked into his soul. I see a good man there. I wonder if that still holds. That music in the background, and I wish we had the CD. We had the CD. We're going to buy one tomorrow. We'll go over here to one of the used record shops. But that's from David Gilmour's About Face, and there's a cut on there titled Cruise. And it's about cruise missiles and the perspective from David Gilmour's perspective as an Englishman back in, 25 years ago. When the Reagan crime family decided to load up Western Europe with cruise missile sites in order to intimidate the Russians, which it did not do. I know a lot of people on the right, like the Limbaugh pigs, they want to believe that with all their heart and soul. But it had nothing, you know, what had to do with the collapse of the Soviet Union was Gorbachev, Glasnost, and what was the other one? Openness and Perestroika, restructuring. Had nothing to do with this giggling idiot, senile Reagan. But if you get a chance to listen to that cut, it's called Cruise. It's on the David Gilmour About Face CD. The thing with Putin is warning the United States. I don't know what Bush is trying to do, except he is a dolt and an idiot. And he's a megalomaniac. He doesn't understand that there are nations around the world that, while they may be intimidated or at least aware of U.S. power, are also very aware of their own, and they're not going to be intimidated. And my God, is the Russian Federation one of those countries or entities? China's another one. Of course, Bush never says squat to China. Early in Bush's illegal administration, Bush's stolen, corrupt, piggish administration. Remember when the U.S. spy plane was shot down or shot and a forced landing in Chinese territory, and the Chinese just took every bit of this sophisticated equipment apart, screw by washer, and checked it all out, and Bush is
back. Hey, send it back. Send it back. We went about warning you. Send it back. Send it back.
And the Chinese gave Bush the equivalent, I guess, the Chinese equivalent of the middle finger. Like, shut up and sit down, little man. You'll get your spy plane back when we have taken it apart. And that's exactly what happened. How did it come back to the United States? In pieces on a Russian transport plane. Let that sink in for you. You'll remember that, don't you? And where was the right wingers? And what did they want us to nuke Beijing? Can you imagine if, through some weird circumstance, Hamas shot down a U.S. spy plane, or the Kurds, or the Iranians? Good God! We would be dropping tactical nukes in about, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! That quick. But China says, sit down, strange pale man, and shut your mouth while we take apart what you sent over here to spy on us with. We're going to look at it. We're going to copy it. We're going to take a look at the circuits, the motherboard, and all your high-tech stuff in here. Sit down and shut up, little white man. And Russia, Russia, of all people, 60 long years of cold, so-called Cold War tension that these punks on the intellectual right insist on referring to as World War III. I guess it makes them feel like their manhood is growing or something.
Well, we had World War III, and we won it, and now we're in World War IV.
Putin says, according to the Associated Press, quote, "We are being told that the anti-missile defense system Bush wants to install is targeted against something that does not exist. Neither Iran nor North Korea have the rockets that the system is intended to shoot down. Doesn't it seem funny to you, to say the least?" End quote.
I looked a man in the eye. I was able to get a sense of his soul.
Get rid of the ABM treaty so we can research and development weapon systems that'll meet the true threat. Let's come together.
Oh my God. When you think of the treaties this piggish man has broken and violated or ignored, everything that has come within his vision he has attempted to destroy. And the Democratic Party leadership tells us impeachment is off the table. Anyway, back to Putin. He is now saying that he and his government will take retaliatory steps if Washington, that means Bush, proceeds with building a missile defense system for Europe. Like I mentioned right before the break, Putin said neither Iran nor North Korea have the rockets that the system is intended to shoot down, suggesting it be used instead against Russia. The Russians, for centuries, have been a very paranoid people, and probably rightly so. They have been battered internally and externally. If you want a definition of paranoia, look in the dictionary. You'll see a picture of Russians. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. You want a definition of arrogance? Look in the same dictionary. You'll see a picture of Americans. Putin said that this system that Bush wants to stick in the old Warsaw Pact nations, this is astonishing, would be what he calls, quote, an integral part of the U.S. nuclear arsenal in Europe, end quote. He says it would be an unprecedented step that simply changes the entire configuration of international security. He said he hoped the U.S. officials would change their minds regarding the missile plan. And then he said this, quote, "If that doesn't happen, then we disclaim responsibility for our retaliatory steps, because it is not we who are the initiators of a new arms race, which is undoubtedly brewing in Europe," end quote. My God! And then Putin, when he was asked whether the planned U.S. missile defense shield in Eastern Europe would compel Moscow to target its own missiles on U.S. military sites and other locations in Europe, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Putin replied, "Naturally, yes." And then he went on to say, quote, "If the American nuclear potential grows in European territory, we have to give ourselves new targets in Europe. It is up to our military to define these targets," end quote. Well, let's see. London, Paris, Rome, Zurich, Oslo. Where else? Berlin? Bonn? Look what this madman Bush is doing! But we can't impeach him because, you know, we don't have the two-thirds vote in the Senate to convict him. The Australian newspaper sends this from correspondents aboard Air Force One. U.S. President George W. Bush flew to Europe overnight with his popularity at home at a low point over the Iraq War and tensions abroad over global warming and missile defense. Many Americans clamoring for an end to the Iraq War. Republican president will have none of that. Bush's weak position at home with this unpopularity in much of Western Europe. According to the director of Europe Studies at the Council of Foreign Relations, says Bush is probably not relishing this trip because of that. Excuse me. Particularly on the question of climate change, he will find himself isolated. The week-long tour with stops in the Czech Republic, Poland, Italy, Albania, Bulgaria. These poor little countries, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, not Romania, Albania, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, countries that are struggling after 65 years of living under Soviet-style communism, and finally, and now they're being convinced to install missile installations or missile-related installations pointing east instead of west. It's incredible. Back home, the head of the Arkansas Republican Party says we need more attacks on American soil so people appreciate Bush. Can you believe this? This is in the Arkansas Democrat newspaper. I can't. In his first interview as the chairman of the Arkansas Republican Party, Dennis Milligan told a reporter that America needs to be attacked by terrorists so that people will appreciate the work that President Bush has done. Oh, my God. Here's a direct quote. At the end of the day, I believe the president is doing the right thing, and I think all we need is some attacks on America, so American soil like we had on September 11th, and the naysayers will come around very quickly to appreciate not only the commitment for President Bush, but the sacrifice that has been made by men and women to protect this country. You sick bastard! Oh, my God. In his acceptance speech, this guy runs a sewage plant someplace, and it says in Arkansas, in his acceptance speech, excuse me, on May 19th, Milligan told his fellow Republicans in Arkansas that it was, quote, time for a rediscovery of our values and our common sense, end quote. Our values and our common sense? Another attack on this country? You sick pervert. This is astonishing. These are Republicans. They want death and murder. What do you want to bet this guy is a fundamentalist Christian? What do you want to bet he's one of the Dominionists? What do you want to bet he believes in the rapture and that the earth and the universe was created less than 7,000 years ago? What do you want to bet? I just can't believe they're going to whack Tony Soprano. I can't accept that. Hi, Mike. I've been trying to find a few moments to write this all day, but it's been one of those days, so the best I can do is get a brief comment out to you now. As you undoubtedly know, 18 years ago today, we in this country woke up to the reports of hundreds of dead students lying on the ground in Tiananmen Square. Guilty of nothing except demanding democratic reforms from the repressive regime in China. When they had marched into the square 7 weeks earlier, 100,000 strong, they had banners and signs and a statue they called the Goddess of Democracy, which looked a lot like the Statue of Liberty. Only 18 years ago, what this country, us, what we stood for, people all over the world were willing to die to protect. After only 6 years of Bush, people all over the world are willing to die to destroy us. Then, 18 years ago, this country stood for individual rights, for human rights, for the rule of law and the democratic process. Now this country stands for torture, spying on its own citizens, blatant disregard for any law, domestic or international, the ability of the government to pick you up and throw you in a secret prison somewhere and never tell you what you've been accused of or give you a chance to prove your innocence. And never mind about innocent until proven guilty. Mike, as I think about all this, my heart breaks. You see, I'm an immigrant whose family was called by that dream. My mother and her family were in a labor camp in Czechoslovakia. My father was a prisoner in a Russian gulag. They left family, friends, everything behind to come to this country, this beacon of liberty and new beginnings, so that I would never have to know political oppression, fear of unjust and capricious imprisonment, so that I could always be free and proud of what my country stood for. I remember when the huge ship we were on steamed into New York Harbor. We rushed to the side of the ship from which we could see the Statue of Liberty. I remember my mother weeping. She held me close and told me she was crying with happiness because this was a dream come true. My mother, the only one of those that made the journey across the sea to steam into New York Harbor, follows the news as best she can. And when I tell her what's happening to this country she loves so much, she just shakes her head. I don't think she understands it well enough to weep, as I do. I want my country back. Bridget. Can you imagine an uprising? Let's just rip a page right out of Chinese history. Can you imagine an uprising this June 4th, today, in Tiananmen Square with 100,000 students demanding to be like us? No. Neither can I.
I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over, it ain't going any further. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
I offered last year as a promise is today a commitment to research, develop, and deploy a defense against ballistic missiles.
From Prairie 2, hey Mike, with the Republicans deserting Bush on the Iraq War, he needs to revive the Rusky threat as a distraction. Putin may even be a willing participant since it allows him to continue to consolidate his power and squelch democracy in the face of the threat from the crazy cowboy in the White House. Yeah. Meanwhile, in our George's wonderful adventure in Iraq, oh my God, this quote is so bizarre. Here it is. Quote, an Interior Ministry official who did not want to be named because he was not authorized to release the figures said 1,944 civilians were killed in May in Baghdad, a 29% hike over April. At least 174 soldiers and policemen were killed in the same period. Mortar attacks in the capital are becoming deadlier and car bombs remain common. End quote. That's datelined yesterday. Also, for the first time, the Bush administration is beginning publicly to discuss basing American troops in Iraq for decades to come. A subject so fraught with political landmines that officials are tiptoeing around the inevitable question about what the United States' long-term mission would be there. Administration officials and top military leaders declined to talk on the record about their long-term plans in Iraq, but when speaking on a not-for-attribution basis, they describe a fairly detailed concept. It calls for maintaining three or four major bases in the country, as all well outside of the crowded urban areas where casualties have soared. They would include the base at Al-Asad in Anbar Province, Balad Air Base, about 50 miles north of Baghdad, and Talila Air Base in the south. Never mind, as Bill Scher notes, that the Iraq spending bill that Bush just signed includes the following provision, quote, "None of the funds appropriated or otherwise made available by this or any other act shall be obligated or expended by the United States government for a purpose as follows. 1. To establish any military installation or base for the purpose of providing for the permanent stationing of U.S. armed forces in Iraq. 2. United States control over any oil resource in Iraq." Well, that's okay. That's okay. It says here, for the purpose of providing for the permanent stationing of U.S. Armed Forces in Iraq. 50 years is not permanent. Permanent is, well, let's see, the universe is almost 7,000 years old, so I guess permanent would be about 7,000 years. So it doesn't count. Right? "16 American troops have died in Iraq in the first 3 days of June, making a bloody start to the month. A total of 127 Americans died in May, the third worst total for U.S. forces since the invasion." Don't want to read that. "And the man who commanded U.S.-led coalition forces during the first year of the Iraq War says the United States can forget about winning the war. Retired Army Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez said in an interview, quote, I think if we do the right things politically and economically with the right Iraqi leadership, we could still salvage at least a stalemate. If not a stalemate, at least stave off defeat. Sanchez went on to say after a speech in San Antonio, quote, I'm absolutely convinced that America has a crisis in leadership at this time. Then why didn't you overthrow the damn government, Sanchez? Oops, no, we don't do that here. Never mind. He said, quote, we've got to do whatever we can to help the next generation of leaders do better than we have done over the past 5 years. Better than what this cohort of political and military leaders have done. Oh, my God. Sanchez was in the middle of some of the most hideous events of the war. The dissolution of the Iraq army, barring millions of Ba'ath Party members from government jobs, which were two actions that triggered the rebellion among Sunni Muslims. Sanchez is also most closely identified with the Abu Ghraib scandal. Though he was cleared of any wrongdoing by an army probe, those images of naked prisoners being humiliated by a torture squad probably cost poor Lieutenant General Sanchez his fourth star. Sanchez declined to talk about Abu Ghraib in this interview with the French news agency, Agence France-Presse. He said he didn't want to talk about Abu Ghraib or other key events of the war or say who was to blame for what went wrong. He did say, quote, that's something I'm still struggling with, and it's not all about blame, because there's nobody out there that is intentionally trying to screw things up for our country, end quote. nice backup position there, General. U.S. Ambassador in Baghdad, Ryan Crocker, reacted to Sanchez's comments by insisting, quote, it's just way premature to be talking in terms of victory or defeat, end quote. Really? And 3 months after the start of this murderous increase of U.S. service people in Baghdad, the assessment is coming in. We are failing miserably. That comes from the military leaders. All right, let's do some phone calls when we come back, if you like. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Do join us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network. Welcome back. It's just about 7 past the hour. I'm worried about Tony Soprano. I mean, we've spent 10 years following this family, right? They're going to kill him. When they got Silvio last night, I couldn't believe it. This is you know, he's in the E Street Band. Oh, my God. He plays with Bruce Springsteen, and they whacked him. The number here is 800-989-1480. And again, if you're just joining us for the Nova M founding members, you want to have some fun, Sailor? Go to the NovaMradio.com page and go to the chat room. Click on the chat room. And if you're a Nova M founder, just enter your username and password. And Billy Foster is in there who... manages the live chat that's going on even as we speak. I'm going to try to get in there. Do we have a password, Kathy? We do. Do you know what it is? Okay, email it to me, will you? Because I may drop in there. But go to NovaMradio.com. I don't know what it is about chat rooms. I have no idea. Why is that so, you know, everybody likes it? I'm just curious. Chat room. Maybe I would like it if I weren't, you know, doing the show, you know, talking through the microphone here and doing all the stuff we have to do. But it seems like anyone who's important has a chat room, and Billy Foster gave us one. Whoa! So, well, wait a second. It's not for us. It's for NovaMradio.com. That's right. Damn. All right. Well, never mind. Go there anyway, NovaMradio.com. And if you are a founding member... just use your username and your password and get in there and chat with Billy Foster and all the folks who are in there tonight. The number here on the program is 800-989-1480, and I believe we have one open line. Let's do some phone calls here, starting with Robert. Robert's calling from San Francisco. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You might enjoy a film I saw recently, a French film, black and white, with subtitles called Angel. Very, very fun movie. Now to get down to brass tacks. You know this guy from Arkansas?
Oh, yeah, the head of the Arkansas Republican Party who wants more attacks?
Where's Henry Gonzalez when you need him? Some guy, some kid in a restaurant, a young 20-year-old, called Henry a communist, and Henry just called him out and boxed his ears real good. That's what this guy needs. They're calling us out. They punk us on 9/11. I mean, we know for a fact those towers were blown up. We've got all the testimony. William Rodriguez's testimony was sealed for reasons of national security. I mean, what could a janitor possibly know about? Maybe bombs going off in the building?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, these guys, I just wonder, judges say there is such a thing as fighting words.
Mm-hmm, now, that's right.
Now, you know, I'm Canadian. I've lived down here for about 27 years. I've never, ever heard a Canadian advocate anyone attacking Canada. And if anyone ever did anywhere near me, I can tell you, I would immediately say, what did you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got fools down here saying we need an attack. I've never heard of a Democrat say that.
This is a Republican thing. Republicans are about one step above vermin, above rats and cockroaches. They don't care about the country. And like I said, I'd be willing to. I know nothing about this guy except he runs a sewage treatment plant somewhere in Arkansas. But I would be willing to bet my job that he considers himself to be a fundamentalist Christian, which means he's a dominionist. He believes like Osama. Bin Laden believes this, that everybody should be a Christian and their throats should be slit if they're not. I'll guarantee you he does not accept evolution, even though he runs a waste treatment plant where evolution or devolution goes on about him every time he turns on his damn chemicals. But this is a freak. This is who gets press and attention in this country, and these are the people who wind up as heads of state Republican parties. It's astonishing.
Well, he's going to wind up being somebody's punching dumb if he goes around saying that much longer. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Who would sit still if Al Gore said what this country needs is another attack like 9/11 2001? Can you imagine the shrieking?
What we need is a real investigation of 9/11, and this whole administration could be put in Guantanamo, and we'll just sort them out later. You know, put a temporary government in place and find out why Cheney was running the terror training exercises and the U.S. Air Force was running live-fly hijackings of commercial airliners with planes crashing into buildings, and why FEMA was at the WTC doing a bioterror training exercise, and who were the 200 Israelis that were arrested, and then Chertoff released back to Israel. I mean, 26 dual Israeli-American citizens in the first Bush administration, George W., and the guy who ran the Pentagon, the CFO, the financial officer, $2 trillion missing just a few days before 9/11, that guy is a conservative rabbi.
You do admit there's an awful lot of conservative Christians involved in this too.
There's enough of these Luciferians to go around, but I just wanted to get paint picture here. Okay, there's Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan helping the neocons pull this off, and right about now, there's 18 months before the next election that they're planning to steal. They need a real wake up call, and that would be a legitimate investigation into 9/11, because their fingerprints are all over that baby.
Well, you know, when there will be a legitimate investigation into 9/11, I'm afraid, Robert, is when you and I are nothing but sweet memories for our descendants.
Oh, Mike, listen, there are thousands of loyal U.S. and security agents that have stood up and told Fitzgerald, "We're watching what you do with this." A couple of years ago, there was a gunfight underneath the Capitol building, and two Brits took bullets and a French guy over evidence getting out of Tom DeLay's office. Just go to Tom Floco and read about it last May. And a similar thing happened with General Kevin Burns, number five in command, the pretext to attack Iran. Now it's the Chinese apparently have equipped Iran. There will be no attack, no nuking of Iran. Elsewise, there will be serious consequences of the nuclear order, because apparently the Chinese have outbitted the Iranians with enough sunburned cruise missiles to dissuade aircraft carriers from doing anything. Yeah.
It's too much, Robert. You just handed me, and I realize we all talk about all of this stuff all the time, but you just handed me a stack that if I tried to think about any one of the things you just said clearly and precisely, I would probably turn into a gibbering maniac. But I understand what you're saying.
It's not easy to get by in my world either, but
I hear
the 9/11 people, I'm telling you, people need to look at 9/11 Mysteries, that video.
All right. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. We watched another video last night. Daryl in Alabama sent it to me. What is it, My Country, about it more or less follows an Iraqi doctor in the lead-up to the so-called election that occurred in that country. When was it, Kathy? A year ago? The first election, you know, the purple finger election. And it's fairly long for a documentary. I think I got to the day of the voting and fell asleep. So I'm going to watch the rest of it tonight, Daryl. But if you get it, this was nominated for an Academy Award. It lost out to An Inconvenient Truth. But it's called My Country, My Country. And it's shot by an American filmmaker, a woman who has, I'm trying to remember the other things she's done, but she is obviously an excellent, she was the editor and the director on this. But if you get a chance to see it, My Country, My Country, and thanks to Dan, Daryl for sending that to us. As a matter of fact, we might, I don't know, when we finish that, maybe we'll give that one away, too. We'll have another contest. We have some videos in here. Let's think of something to do. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Alerted. They're not alert, however, it doesn't take them long to fire up if we need them. Our mission is to make sure we never need them on each other.
You never need them on each other. You know, you got to fire them up or you just take hold of the crank there and spin it around real fast. Fire them up.
Money's good. Works okay.
Dolt. Eskay writes, Mike, the mere fact that most online political polls are now asking whether we consider W to be a villain or a visionary should be plenty of proof to anyone of the trouble that we face. These questions rarely come from out of the ether. Everyone now knows the threat that we face. Again, the real question is, what do we plan to do about it? It really is astonishing when one stops and considers that another murderous bastard, Vladimir Putin, former KGB member, somebody who has his political adversaries either jailed or murdered over and over. It doesn't make any sense. This is one of the reasons Bush gets along with him up to this point. But Bush is not playing with the kids down the street when you start messing with Vladimir Putin. I mean, this is not your frat house buddy, George. This is somebody who will rip your head off and probably 100 million other Americans along with it. You don't mess with these. Oh, never mind. Who am I talking to? I sit in here sometimes and talk like I'm talking to Bush. Putin. Reignite the Cold War. Reignite the Cold War. Destroy the G8. Turn the Middle East into flames. I mean, my God. But he's not to be impeached because, it would be divisive? No, they can't guarantee the two-thirds necessary to convict. Oh, well, I guess we can get through the next 18 months, right? Sure. John is calling from California. Hey, John. John? Put John on hold and we'll try again or whatever. Paul is calling from New York. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Look, I have to disagree with you a little bit on your definition of Bush as a madman.
Okay.
Bush is a madman. Was Hitler. Hitler was a madman. He had a mission to call it whatever. Bush is the Antichrist. The only thing he has in mind is total destruction of the planet Earth. Okay, he has nothing else in mind. This man is trying to start wars, trying to start trouble all over the place, has no concept of the consequences, doesn't even care, uses false prophets like Dobson and Falwell, Bush, Cheney to preach his lies. Hey, what else would you define him as? A madman is just a madman. You know, Hitler was a madman. He had a mission. He had something in mind. Whether good or bad, he had something in mind. This man has nothing but pure death and destruction in mind.
Well, when you say good or bad regarding Hitler, you don't have any doubt, do you?
No, I don't have any doubt. I mean, he was a definite madman. He was an evil, but this thing we got as a president is way beyond that.
Yeah, this guy wants to be Hitler, but he
has no remorse, Mike. He has absolutely no remorse.
Yeah.
Zero, nothing. I mean, people are dying, and he doesn't even care.
I know.
I don't know how else to explain that. It just turns your stomach to see a country that we all were born and grew up in being twisted into something so vile, so vicious. I don't even know what to say. I lose words. You know, the only thing I come up with is Antichrist.
I know. I know. I hear you. I lose the words, too. That's why so many times I would resort to just foul language. I don't know how to express myself about this man.
I've tried foul language, Mike. Hey, it doesn't work anymore.
I know.
I don't know what else to call it. I mean, he's trying to start a nuclear war now, basically.
Yeah, I know. With the Russians, it's not like trying to start a nuclear war with the Iranians. I mean, the Iranians don't have a delivery system, but by God, the Russians do.
Okay, if he starts a nuclear arms race with the Russians, right, the communist Russians, I don't care what anybody says, they're still the communist Russians. Who do you think will back them? Who do you think China will side with? Does this man not think? What, do you think because we got 10 factories in China, it's okay, we can do whatever we want?
All right, Paul, your blood pressure's way up.
I'm sorry. You know, I hear you every night. You're passionate, and you're very passionate, and so am I. It's just this man here I can't even call him a man anymore. What have we done to ourselves?
I hear you. All right, Paul. Deep breath. Right. We'll talk again. Thanks for checking in. Just take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy.
All right, Mike.
All
have
right.
a good night.
All right, Paul.
Sensitive cowboy on no road. Sensitive cowboy and I don't know what to do. Oh no, it's kind of strange. I'm the last sensitive cowboy.
I realized we'd get the trifecta.
It's so much fun, death and destruction, isn't it? Jeff in California writes, Mike, it's apparently okay now to wish violent death on our fellow Americans. So how about it? Could the terrorists start with Mr. Milligan, please? Thank you. Much appreciated. That's the new head of the Republican scum suckers in Arkansas. who says what this country needs is another attack and more dead Americans. People like that actually walk around, breathe air, eat food, go to the grocery store, and like to consider themselves to be Christians. Now, I've sworn off cussing, but I'm going to break my vow. This son of a bitch needs something to fall on his head soon. Okay, back into no cussing mode. Let's see how it's so hard, Kathy. This is from Red Raven. Mike, with the maniac poking at Putin, I am now officially terrified of the result. Both they and we still have many warheads, some on ready alert. Those that think that nuclear weapons go stale or old do not understand these things. I worked in weapons tests for many years at the Nevada Test Site, NTS, starting with the Accelerated High Yield Test Program. I've seen and sadly participated in many detonations. I fear today that people have no concept of what a thermonuclear weapon is. All they see is old films taken at the NTS and the South Pacific. And parenthetically, she adds, the island of Alushalab is now a 350-foot deep hole in the ocean floor, by the way. That goes for the Bubis Maximus Bush. You and I were young during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Think if the maniac Bubis had to solve that one. What Kennedy and Khrushchev worked so hard to prevent would have occurred in this idiot is undoing. Today, we would likely not be here. Bush needs to watch and rewatch and watch again McNamara's fog of war. According to McNamara, we came within hair's breadth of annihilation on three separate occasions. Per McNamara's astute observation, quote, the confluence of human fallibility and nuclear weapons will destroy nations, end quote. Of course, our idiot would not understand such a complex statement, so it would have to be simplified for him. We ought not, once again, be tying a knot and pulling on that rope against the Russians. I have read that letter that Khrushchev wrote to Jack Kennedy. Read it if you get the opportunity. Khrushchev was as scared as Kennedy. We were hours away from conflagration. There is no damn such thing as a tactical nuclear weapon. Cindy or Red Raven. And our North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, writes, Mike, how many retired generals have to say we cannot win this war, this Iraq war, militarily? And yet the Republicans are still talking about a military victory. I just don't get it. P.S. It came out in one of the Abu Ghraib investigations that General Sanchez personally signed off on using dogs to terrorize prisoners. I have no respect for him. The Republicans are still talking about a military victory. I just don't get it. I would assume, Sharon, that's because Republicans are just, they're murderous, sick morons, and they pander. They pander to the murderous, sick morons who put them in office, who want to see a huge pile of dead bodies all over the globe so that their Jesus will be pleased and order up the rapture. These are sick people. These are just beyond sick, Sharon. She includes a quote here from General Wesley Clark. Here it is. You cannot win the war on terror by military force. It is first and foremost a battle of ideas. It is secondly a law enforcement effort and a cooperative effort among nations. Only as a last resort do you use military force. Back to your phone calls. Roberta is calling from San Diego. Hey, Roberta.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing good. I haven't spoken to you in like over a year. We've got you back down here in San Diego for like 3 hours every night, and that is so wonderful.
Oh, great.
You've got a big following here. I mean, for a while we didn't have you at all, and then it was like 1 hour, and now it's three. So anyway.
Well, we're real glad to hear that.
Oh, there's a big following here. You know?
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Dear God, when will this be over? I mean, you know, please, soon. It feels like one big nut war, doesn't it?
Do you know, I read something the other day that the vast majority of American people now just want Bush to go away. Can you believe that?
Of course.
I mean, the way it's worded, we just want this to end. And the reason I remember that, because of what you just said, you know,
when's
it going to end? The vast majority of Americans now just want it to end. They want him gone.
Well, you know, the list of atrocities is so long, like, where do we start? I mean, I've been down in the Social Security office a lot lately because of my own situation. I'm actually a senior. I know I sound really young. Do you know that the Social Security Administration has turned hostile and adversarial toward the disabled and the elderly? People in wheelchairs and on breathing machines and crippled with no legs and crutches are in the Social Security offices begging for their benefits. And they're pressuring and intimidating seniors to go into early retirement at age 62 instead of waiting until they're 65 or 66.
Why?
Well, because they don't have to pay them as much money.
Oh, that's true.
We're talking about anywhere between $100 and $300 or $400 a month less. And once you take your early retirement at 62, that's it. It's a done deal. You can never change it after that.
Uh-huh.
And I hear the conversations they're having with these people, and these people don't understand what's being said to them, and they think that they have to do it. It's so evil. You know, I think what we need is about 10 tons of acid or peyote or, you know, mescaline or something to get us all through this. I mean, he's like a Mickey Mouse Hitler, and that makes him really dangerous.
That's what I was trying to say with the comparison to this freak. Hitler was a madman, but he was a madman on a global scale. This guy is a madman, but he's a punk. He's just an absolute punk.
Well, our guys here in San Diego this morning on the Air America show in the morning, Stacy, Scooter, and Craig, they said something about Pootie and Bush. I thought that was kind of funny.
Pootie
and Bush.
Pootie and Bush.
Yeah. Instead of Putin and Bush, it was Pootie and Bush.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you know. Just some crazy humor. I'm trying to be lighthearted.
Y'all can do that on the radio in San Diego?
Well, they did.
Oh, my God.
If
I were the FCC, I would be out there levying fines. Oh, wait a minute. You just did that on this network.
I'm sorry.
Ah! That's all right, Roberta.
It's just a short name for Putin.
That's right. That's very true.
Well, thank you very much for
everything you do, and many
blessings to you.
Thanks for checking in, Roberta. Don't be a stranger. Don't be gone for, what'd you say, Kathy, a year? You know, the giveaway that Tony Soprano is going to be whacked, it was in a line that he said last night they're all going to the mattresses now. There's a big fight between Tony Soprano and the other one.
I can't pronounce them. I mean, it all sounds like, you know,
Italian
an Italian restaurant menu. Rigatoni, Spoletto. I have no idea. The one that Johnny Saccarelli died, who replaced Johnny Saccarelli
when he
died. That's the only one.
But there was a giveaway line, and this is why I think Soprano's going to be whacked, Tony, when he said to his wife. When he said to
Carmella,
and you know, I'm ashamed because, as you know, I had until she died, I had an aunt Carmella.
I thought that was Carnella.
No, Carmella, my aunt Carmella, and we called her Aunt June.
I thought her name was, well, who was Carnella?
There was nobody in my family named Carnella. Anyway, when he said to Carm, they never go after the families. So there it is. I don't know. I may have to take next Monday night off. I don't know. Steve is calling from Folsom, California. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Mike. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan of yours and a subscriber.
Well, thank you. I appreciate both.
Hey, I don't know if you heard... there was the OAS. I don't know if you talked about the OAS meeting down in Panama today. Where
no, I haven't talked about it. Didn't even know about it.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice expressed concern about freedom of the press in Venezuela. She said she. Was, can you believe that? Can you believe that? She was saying that the one private television station was closed down. Now what do you bet that Bush or his people, you know, they probably tried to buy that private television station, like, or Fox News tried to buy it. And there's probably a much bigger story behind it, but it's so ironic that they're, you know, that she's down there, talking about press freedom for Venezuela when we don't even have press freedom in this country.
Right. Well, I trying to sort out what happened with that that station. That station has been on television. Or that television station has been on the air. Wait a minute. We got a break here. Maybe we can get rid of the echo during the break. Just stay where you are, Steve. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.
They changed my mind to an endless tune when they took my only son from me. I know it's true, oh so true, 'cause I saw it on TV.
Now we're at war, but we're at war to keep the peace.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking with Steve in Folsom, California. The television station in Venezuela is near as I can come to some sort of a conclusion or understanding, Steve, is that it it's been on the air for years, 30 or 40 years. This was a station that advocated the violent overthrow of the government of Hugo Chavez, assisted, of course, by the CIA and whatever forces inside Venezuela, the wealthy class that does not want to see a populace like Chavez return things to the people. And I think the reason the people in Venezuela got pissed off, a couple of things. First of all, it has the longest running soap opera in Venezuelan history and the most popular. And secondly, like America, like the United States, I should say, I wonder how informed the people of Venezuela are politically. So the bottom line, can you imagine in this country if there was a television station that daily advocated the overthrow of George W. Bush? We have laws against that, you see? So they didn't renew the station's license. That's what happened. Where's Steve? There's Steve.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that Condoleezza Rice was making the comment herself, because evidently she's been in this big personality conflict, according to the press, what the popular media is, or news, one of the popular media was trying to say she's been in this big conflict with Dick Cheney. And I'm just thinking, well, here's something that Dick Cheney gave her to do, to mend fences or whatever. But actually what I wanted called about was the debate yesterday. I don't know if you discussed the question about how supposedly since 9/11, there's been no other attack, and can we thank George Bush for the fact that we're safer and haven't been attacked since 9/11? I nearly blew a fuse because George Bush was warned at the very least by the Clinton administration, but we know there were a lot, including Rice, there were a lot more warnings than that. He ignored the warnings at the very least. To say that 9/11, that he protected us after 9/11, mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. But what really got me was the way the candidates handled it. Oh, yeah, Bush has done some good things, but we could do more.
This is the Democrats' debate?
The Democrats' debate, not even mentioning the simplest point that it was 9 years between the first attack, or 8 years plus, mm-hmm. between the first attack on the WTC and the second,
mm-hmm.
Which is just, that's what 4 or 5 words. They were saying, oh, Bush, he's done a lot, but we could do more, and that was kind of the take on the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Edwards kind of said the best thing, which was a bumper sticker slogan, but the war on terror. But of course, everybody's jumped all over that. But they brought up they were saying, well, the JFK. Look at the JFK airport group conspiracy. Well, they don't call it a conspiracy, of course, but the JFK plot that was just airport plot that was just broken up, and isn't that a sign that Bush is protecting us. And my God, I mean, we don't even know the details of the JFK airport, you know, what it involved, the Fort Dix thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, six teenagers are going to attack Fort Dix with AK-4, you know?
And, right.
And the ultimate point being, even if you accepted all that, there are law enforcement issues. What could the military do about any of that? What is war going to do to solve that? What could the military have done about 9/11? Nothing.
Right.
So anyway, I just, and one other thing, I just thought I'd raise one other thing, which is, I don't know, you know, we talk about Project for a New American Century and all the other things,
mm-hmm.
but not too many people mention the Hart Rudman report. I don't know if you've seen that from 1999.
Yes, I did see it, but I'm drawing a total blank on it now.
Well, on the Hart Rudman report, it's really interesting. It was Gary Hart. It was supposedly a bipartisan report. Gary Hart was the Democrat, and Rudman was the Republican. And they came out with this report in 1999, and they're talking about the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go out on the Internet. Anybody can research this. And they also predicted the major terrorist attack after the year 2000,
right.
And then another major terrorist attack after that. But reading that report is very, very interesting. I highly recommend it to any of your conspiracy-minded people out there.
Right, and it was a report, of course, that was totally and absolutely ignored by the incoming Bush administration, Gary Hart, and Rudman's first name?
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Warren Rudman. A Democrat and a Republican, and so, yeah, I remember that report, and it's now, 8 years old, and nobody paid any attention to it. It's astonishing.
Absolutely. One other thing, I was looking at Wayne Madsen, and he has a thing, I don't know if you're...
I go to his site once in a while, yes.
Yeah, he's got a Dick Cheney call girl scandal. I don't know, you know, I don't want to comment on it in case it's not factual, but I thought I'd point out to your listeners if they want to go have a look at that.
Okay. Call girl to do what? Come in and stroke his pacemaker?
Well, this was supposedly when he was, okay, I'm just repeating what I read, when he was president of Halliburton in the 90s, that must have been before his heart condition, but it says he quit using the service due to his heart condition.
Okay. All right. Well, that's funny enough. Thanks, Steve.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Oh my God. All right. We are rapidly approaching a break here, so I guess it would be kind of pointless to take another call. We have one open line: Jim, Ron, Michelle, and Jay. We will pick you up on the other side of the break here. So. Stick around. Final hour of tonight's Molloy program coming up. All right? Phone number here is 800-989-1480. This is the Nova M Radio Network. In other words, this is not Air America. Seekers. This is the Molloy program on the NOVEM Radio Network. And again, for NOVEM founding members, you can jump into the live chat hosted by Billy Foster, NOVEM Radio's chief information officer. Just go to NOVEMradio.com, click on the chat button, and enter your username and password, and enjoy. You have to be fully clothed, though. This is from Kramer. Subject line, we were attacked after 9/11. He writes, or she writes, sorry, I don't know your gender, but that's right. This drives me nuts when people say that, and it's not challenged that we were not attacked after 9/11. We were attacked just a month after September 11, when Bush should have had the government on the highest alert. In October, 2001, the heart of America, the United States Capitol building, was attacked with deadly anthrax. It's been over 5 years since this attack, and Bush has no leads and zero suspects. Please remember that. Yeah, but does that count? I mean, that was an inside job. Well, so was, to some extent, so was the attack on New York and the Pentagon. That was an inside job, too. One way or the other, sorry, folks, I know I part company with a lot of people who think that's nonsense for me to say that, including my good friend Greg Palace, including Alexander Coburn. I mean, the list goes on and on. People say that's bat squeeze, that it was an inside job. I believe it was, to one extent or another. I'm not saying that it was an active participation, but you know, you can bring hell just by being passive when knowing something is about to happen and doing nothing about it. So one way or the other, there is Bush crime family involvement in the attack on this country on September 11, 2001. I will believe that as I suck in my last breath. I have no doubts. You don't have 11, 13 people, 12 people, whatever. God, I'm forgetting. Attack this country and defeat the tens of trillions of dollars that have gone into armaments and protection and surveillance and intelligence and on and on and on. 13 people with box cutters don't defeat that without help from the inside. I'm sorry, don't, you know, and for people who say that's conspiratorial nonsense, how dare you expect me to believe the official story? Are you out of your freaking mind? What, the nine Saudis and a couple of other freaks are going to get on airplanes and with no help attempt to destroy the heart of America? Please! I don't know what really happened, but I'll damn sure guarantee myself, I don't care what you believe, struggle through it, but I guarantee myself that the official story is nothing but massive lies.
Well, see, these nine guys got on four airplanes, and they attacked the Pentagon, and they attacked the World Trade Center twice, and God only knows what the one over Pennsylvania was going to attack. But nobody could stop them, Mike. Nobody. Everybody knew what was happening for, I don't know how long, 30 minutes? Nobody could stop him. Honest to God, Mike, don't believe otherwise.
Anyone who buys the official explanation of what occurred on this in this country on September 11, 2001, anyone who buys the official story is a damn fool. And I don't care who that includes. I'm sure it includes people a lot smarter than I am, a lot more educated than I am, a lot more well-read than I am, a lot more able to express their opinions than I am and their ideas than I am. And I don't care. Anyone who believes the official story without challenging any part of it is a damn fool, or worse. Oh, enough of that. Because, like I say, I will, I'll know the truth of that never. Jim is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm listening tonight. I just got done driving 11 hours, so I'm winding down a little bit.
11 hours? Is that in a car or in a big
truck?
No,
that's legal. That's what I'm allowed to do legally.
Oh, you're
I'm a truck driver.
You're an over-the-road driver.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And, I listen to you a lot as I'm driving. I also listen, I try to listen to as much liberal stuff as I can.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Well, I can't hear the other side. I mean, I do. I listen to it, and I just, it's really hard to listen to, because they're just, I don't know, they're anal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've been around for a while. I was drafted 3 times during the Vietnam War, and I managed to scoot out around that.
No, wait, 3 times?
Yes, sir. I was number 17 in the lottery. I was drafted before that, and I was drafted after it.
Number 17.
Yo, it's terrible.
Hello, Vietnam. Oh, my God. Where'd he go?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought the line went dead, Jim. All right.
No. I'm just sitting here. We got a hell of a rainstorm down here.
Now, what you really called about?
Oh, I called for all sorts of things. I've been sitting here listening, and what it's done is it's piqued all sorts of old memories and all of that. You know, I was at Woodstock, I've got 2 boys. One of them is ready to be cannon fodder if they ever reinstitute the draft. Mm-hmm. And you know, it isn't going to change. It isn't going to change. What I called for originally was the fight I've been having, and what I try to do is I try to live in a solution, because there's sure enough problems out.
Right.
Which means that, you know, I try to identify the problems and then try to come up with a better idea, you know, mm-hmm. and then try and work through stuff. You know, it seems to make sense.
Yes, it does.
And I was listening to the Democrats last night, and I listened to the Republicans and this and that and the other. And so much of it is they just feed off each other. And there's a lot of the times the lines are so blurred in between what is right and wrong. Between them, they can't seem to identify what's right and wrong, and I really do think that we, the people, are much better at discerning what's right and wrong than they are, because they're so close to the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was thinking about Nixon too back, and I was listening to some of the topics tonight about the ballistic missiles and such, and this is a throwback. This is the same sort of overbearing. It was always over us. It was the threat of nuclear holocaust.
That's right.
Growing, and I remember growing up in that.
Yes.
And I remember thinking this just isn't the right thing to do, you know, and I was hoping that as a society we had grown up mm-hmm. through that.
Well, I think as a society we probably had, but you put a freak, a mental midget like George Bush in charge of things, and he will screw everything up, including reigniting the so-called Cold War. This is madness, Jim. This is insane what this little bastard is doing.
Yeah, it truly is.
Oh, my God. Is there anything that he hasn't screwed up deliberately, consciously? I can't believe that the country that I've lived in all my life is under the control of this twit. Hey, listen, pal, I got to leave it, okay?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Jim. Be careful driving. Stay in touch, all right?
All right.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Before he can see the sky, yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is...
I'm committed to reducing the amount of nuclear weaponry.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens.
21 past the hour. Back to your calls. Jay is calling from Atlanta. Jay, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, I'm like most listeners of yours. I'm getting really frustrated that impeachment hasn't taken place yet. And we all know their excuse is that, you know, we don't have the votes.
Yeah.
It seems to me, you know, that's not necessarily something that's supposed to stop you, because they have the power of the podium. And why wouldn't it be as simple as Nancy and Barack and everybody else having a really hyped up press conference and saying, you know, we want to understand why our Republican counterparts are not also supporting impeachment, despite the fact that X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and everything in between.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or that question, you know?
That's a good idea.
It's that simple. Hey, before I go, last time I spoke to you, I tried to get some hype for a story I'm trying to get published about getting Bush out of office. Can I give it one more plug, because it's at a better website that's easily accessible?
Sure, go ahead.
ClarkVSBush.com, ClarkVSBush.com. You just click on download there, and 40-page story I wrote about all the evidence that they're as corrupt as they are incompetent will pop up, and hopefully someone will read it, and it will get to the attention of all the celebrities that are characters in the story.
ClarkVSBush.com.
Yes.
All right. All right. Let me know what happens, Jay, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I don't remember scum suckers like Bob Barr or Henry Hyde or the rest of these Republican moral midgets, all of whom were guilty of adulterous behavior. I don't remember them saying, well, we don't have the votes in the Senate, so we're not going to attempt to impeach Bill Clinton for lying about his adulterous affair. I don't know. I can't understand the Democratic Party leadership except to say that it is doing something I don't understand. That's all I can say. Back to your phone calls. John is calling from Sacramento. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
Hey, I just don't understand why all the dingleberries that call themselves Americans have a problem accepting our total and complete victory in Iraq. Could you explain that to me?
I don't understand the question. Did Iraq attack us?
No, but our victory was total and complete, was it not?
Against what? Total and complete against what? I'm not understanding your question.
Well, we invaded the country.
Yeah, we should be tried on war crimes. The people who invaded a country that did nothing to us. Let's stop a second. What did Poland do to Germany in 1939? Nothing. What did Germany do to Poland? Invaded it. What did we do in 1945, 1946? We put the Nazi high command on trial and executed them.
And you're absolutely right. I'm just wondering why the dingleberries that call themselves Americans...
Wait a second. What dingleberries who call themselves Americans? What are you talking about? Are you talking about Bush and his co-conspirators?
No, I'm talking about all the people around us who breathe the same air that we do are having a tough time accepting the fact that we invaded the country and we defeated their military...
What military? There was no resistance. What are you talking about?
Did we defeat their military?
There was no military. We invaded Iraq the second time. I guess you're talking about the second time under Bush too. We invaded Iraq. There was no resistance.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that we not only defeated their military.
Get rid of this guy real quick, because he is he's ignorant and he's stupid, and I just don't want anything to do with this. I don't know what the guy's point was. I think he probably saved up his money and he's calling from the payphone in the mental institution, and for some reason he wants to call me.
I don't know how you keep attracting them.
I don't either. I thought he wanted to ask me about why don't I believe in winning the war on terror. That's like saying, why don't I believe in winning the war on bombing? Terror is a tactic. Bombing is a tactic. Snipers are a tactic. I am so sick of hearing Bush corrupt the minds of little twits like this last phone caller, Rush and Bush and all of them, into believing that you can wage a war against a tactic. Let's wage a war against bombing. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah. I'm on the right side, I'm on the right side, the only side.
I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West.
What? Russia wants to be West? Oh, God. 26 before the hour. I think we have another flying monkey here. Mike is calling from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mike, welcome to the program.
Mr. Malloy, I do appreciate you taking my call.
No, you don't.
Go ahead. I am a Republican. And, there is...
Well, then you're insane.
Well, be that
How?
As it may.
No,
so hold
well,
on. Just give me a minute.
Why are you Republican? Let's assume you're not insane. Why are you a Republican?
I am staunchly pro-life, and I do not.
Well, you can be pro-life for Christ's sake. I'm pro-life.
Well, I understand that, but that is one.
No,
of the
you things. Don't understand. Dennis Kucinich is pro-life. Are you telling me, Mike, that the only reason you're a Republican is because you're pro-life?
Oh, that is one of the...
All right, what's another reason?
I'm pro the Second Amendment. I'm pro-gun.
So am I! Christ, I own more guns than you'll ever know are possible. So what?
Well, congratulations.
What else makes you a Republican, Mike?
I don't know. Those are the.
You don't know? Then get off my telephone, you sick little twit. What do you mean you don't know? Quit yelling at you.
I'm not saying don't yell at me. You can do whatever you want. I'm just saying.
Well, why did you call my program tonight?
I understand.
How dare you call my program?
First night. See, you're just yelling at me. You won't even let me call.
Of course I'm yelling at you because you're a twit.
I am not a twit.
What the hell are you?
I'm getting yelled at. I just want to call. This is the first night I heard your program. I just got...
Oh, it is not. Now you're a liar. You've been listening constantly. All right, now get to your point, Mike, before I hang up on you, because I don't like people like you.
Okay, then I will get to the point immediately.
And stop lying.
The Republicans, there is corruption in the Republican Party. But
oh, really? When did you figure that out?
What about William Jefferson?
Oh, my God, William Jefferson. Yeah, that's right. Bring down the Republic. William Jefferson is a thief. Are you out of your freaking mind? Get off my phone. Get rid of this guy. Get rid of this guy. God. Don't ever let him on again, Kathy. Don't ever let him on again. And I think he'd use an F-bomb there at the end, didn't he? Huh? You little snot. I'm a Republican because I'm pro-life. No, you're not. You're pro-death. You're pro-fetus. There's a difference. Everything else about you stinks of death, you idiot. Why do these people call me? Why? I don't want you to. I don't like you. Your breath smells. your feet stink, your booty is funky, and your mama would have had an abortion except for the fact that she was probably Catholic. Now, don't call me! You can listen if you want to. Why are you a Republican? Because I'm pro-life. So's everybody else, jerk. There's nobody out there on the left who is pro-murder the babies. There's nobody out there on the left who wants to cut the throats of the little unborn babies. You jackass! That's not what Roe v. Wade was about. It was about privacy. See, I don't like to educate people like you. I don't like you calling my program. You really do. You just turn me off. As far as your pro-Second Amendment, what the hell does that mean, pro-Second Amendment? You wouldn't know which end of a gun, a bullet came out of if somebody pointed one at you. Get out of my program! And all you right-wingers, any of you that are thinking of calling, you know, I used to invite you all on for sport. But y'all are sickening and disgusting. I just don't like you. I just don't want you to call. I don't. I know a lot of my listeners love to hear it when right-wingers, when these monkeys call in, and I'm supposed to play with you and kick your ass and make you look stupid. Tom Hartman can do that. I don't like to do that, okay? Tom Hartman's very good at doing that. So call Hartman. He would love to hear from you. Hartman loves to turn you people inside out. I don't want anything to do with you. You disgust me. You make me sick. You ruin my evening. First Dingleberries and now this freak. Jesus. Why are you a Republican? Because I'm pro-life. Yeah, sure you are. Okay. Ron is calling from New Jersey. Thank God. Finally, somebody from New Jersey. Hey, Ron.
Oh, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Okay. I'm okay.
I need to ask you something, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Are they going to whack Tony Soprano next Sunday night?
I don't know. You can't tell with the Sopranos. Every time you think you get a clue what's going to happen,
right, that's
they
true.
Just switch it around.
That's true.
I've been trying to figure that show out since the beginning. I still haven't.
All right. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt your call. I just
no problem.
I thought maybe since
I like talking about this.
Since you live in New Jersey and so does Tony, I just thought I would ask. No
one
big
of my favorite shows.
Mine too. All right, now.
Okay. Oh, my feet stink and I have bad breath, but I'm a progressive, so can I call?
You can call.
Okay, thank you. Even progressive if I have stinky feet, though.
That's right. I don't care. I'm just trying to, you know, break the guy's cojones.
It's tough to talk to conservatives. I got them in my family, I know.
It's awful.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. I saw this story in the local paper over the weekend, and it just sort of shows of what 26 years of conservative policies has done to this country.
Right.
And I just wanted to share it with you. It's about a new job market that's booming right now for butlers.
For butlers?
For butlers.
Oh, God.
They have schools popping up all over the country to train little Jeeves to work for the growing class of multimillionaires and billionaires.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A butler school.
Butler schools, yes. At first, you know, I started laughing, but then...
Hey, Ron.
This is depressing.
Ron, can you picture this? Somebody who's put in 30 years at General Motors plant in Detroit, and his job goes to China, and they say, well, look, here's your buyout. Here's 50 grand. Now go to butler school.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe a former dock worker or something.
Yeah. I can see a longshoreman going to butler school. Oh, or no, better yet.
Would you like your caviar now?
Let me ask you this, Ron.
Yeah.
How many people do you know who are going to go to a community college or a four-year university who write on their entrance application, I want those courses to become a butler?
If things got any worse, I might be one of those.
Oh, well, that's that's true. I shouldn't ask the question.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They'll be giving drinks of ice water in hell when I decide to become a butler.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
A butler.
But I just wanted to share that story with you.
I don't even like the word butler.
I know.
It's a nasty word, butler. It sounds
who wants to work for a Dick Cheney?
I know, but butler, the word butler, it sounds, I don't know, it sounds like a
demeaning. Sex. It does sound demeaning.
Sounds like a sex act. What'd you do last night?
Well, in that case, maybe I will try it.
What'd you do last night? I butlered. Oh, you butlered? Oh, God, I hope you used a condom.
Well, it's beginning to sound better all the time.
Thanks for checking in, Ron.
Okay, bye.
All right, take care. Butler schools? If we lose this job, Kathy, let's open one. Nah, the Drobnys would never fire me. Of course, I said that about Air America, too. No. There's a difference. There really is. Butler school. I've always hated the word butler. What's that movie we love so much, Remains of the Day? We have seen Remains of the Day maybe 5 times, 6 times, whatever. I love that movie. And, of course, the mass killer's role in that. What's his name? Yeah, Hannibal Lecter has got a leading role in that. That's right, Anthony Hopkins. Butler. Have you been butlering yesterday? No. Why? Why do you ask?
You know, the word has no meaning anymore, so you want to just no. move on.
No, butler. I've always thought that about the word butler. It just sounds like something you do if you're real intimate with somebody. Hey, you want a butler? Woo! I'm sorry. I just... All right, back to your phone calls.
Well, no, now you're out of time.
I'm out of time? All right. We'll have to do the break and come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning us a nation. So you better listen to the voice of reason. So they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told.
Before the hour, I got two emails here, one from Gregory and one from our good friend Reggie at tvnewslies.org. Gregory writes, butling in the subject line. I believe butlers buttle, at least that's what my highfalutin mother used to say. And Reggie writes, butlers do buttle. They don't do any butlering, although they might be butling. It's a verb, to buttle, which is to serve as a butler. Derived forms, buttles, buttled, butling. Oh, God. Buttle. Would you like to go buttle tonight? Oh, I don't know. The credits. Thanks to everybody who made the program possible tonight. Our engineer in Phoenix at KPHX is Ian Huff, who also answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Billy Foster, who is Nova M Radio's chief information officer, is also the moderator at the NovaMRadio.com chat room. Mark Marshall is our webmaster, thanks to the moderators on the message board at MikeMalloy.com. And the executive producer of this program is Catherine Bay. I am your humble and obedient servant. My name is Mike Malloy. We got time for more phone calls here, I believe, Catherine. I hope we have time for more phone calls. I think we've lost a screen here, so maybe if our good friend Ian will very quickly give me a name.
How about Dave from Buffalo?
That sounds good. Dave from Buffalo is calling. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. I wanted to talk about the Democratic debate last night.
Okay.
And during the debate, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama said that, at least Hillary said that she will be pulling our troops out. The only problem with that, she also, during the middle of it, stated that she's going to talk to Maliki and set up timelines and time frames for the pullout. So she has really no plans on pulling out. And if the Democrats or anyone believes that we're going to be pulling out if Barack Obama gets elected or Hillary Clinton, I think they're fooled, because also Barack Obama also stated during the middle of the he talked about pulling our troops out, but he caveated it depending on the situation. And when you talk about depending on the situation, what could that mean? But more time in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see us getting out. If Hillary gets in or Barack Obama gets in, we're there for the long haul. And I know, but and the way they stated it is that we're going to pull the troops out, but they're going to do it their way. And what's mm-hmm. their way? Timelines, time frames, and depending on the situation. But we're not going to be going anywhere.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think either Obama or Clinton understand how deeply and completely Americans resent, first of all, Bush's invasion, secondly, his lies, and third, the occupation of this country. I simply don't like Hillary Clinton as a political candidate. Barack Obama, I'm still trying to make up my mind about him. He seems like a bit of a phony to me. I think he's way too young and way too inexperienced.
I've joined the Mike Gravel camp, and I've webbed him, and hopefully I can be the lead, one of the leaders in Buffalo, because I plan on stomping on every fire that I can.
Well, let me know how that works out. But I have strong doubts, just like you do, about these so-called two leading contenders who seem to be wanting to do nothing except claw each other into oblivion. Dave, thanks for checking in, pal, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. Barbara is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Calm down.
You what?
I live with a lot of Republicans. Come on. I'd be screaming all day long.
Oh, really?
I wanted to say that why do we think in the United States that we could elect Hillary Clinton, who's a female and a liberal, when they couldn't elect a female liberal in France?
Well, I would qualify that just a little bit, if you don't mind, Barbara. Hillary is not and never has been a liberal.
Okay, you're right. You're right. But I'm just saying, you know, they couldn't get somebody who was a woman. I mean, this is France.
Mm-hmm.
And they still couldn't get this. And I, again, believe that the Republicans are going to try to get the person that they know they can defeat and to win.
Uh-huh.
You know, to win the nomination. And I also think that Fred Thompson is the scariest man in America, and everybody needs to look up his record.
Yeah, he is. This guy is a thief. He was involved in the fraud that cost American taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars, the so-called savings and loan fraud, which we'll never really know how much. That just kind of faded off the radar screen, and I think...
Right.
There are people still dying because their entire life savings were stolen from them.
Right. Well, and also he seems to be against solar or any alternative energy. You really can look up his record if you Google Fred Thompson's record. There's a .org site. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it is right this very second.
Well, you know, isn't it amazing how when the Republicans run out of these neo-Nazi Christian right-wingers, they always go to Hollywood, the very country or the very city that they deride and mock. They go to Hollywood to get Ronald Reagan, who, according to most Republicans, walked on water just like Jesus. They go to Hollywood to get Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a serial woman molester.
Right.
And they go to Hollywood to get Fred Thompson. Every time the Republicans know the Democratic Party is about to hand them their own derrieres, they go to Hollywood. It's
amazing.
You
get an actor.
They do. Barbara, I got to go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate you checking in. I hope they don't whack Tony Soprano. Oh, my God. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, True Seekers. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network.